I mean, I'm hoping that all of the Bible stories are created with Lego Lego people whose hands only do this. So praying hands, obviously, like this. Anyway, sorry, it made me chuckle, and I just thought it was great. The particularly the cloud, awesome cloud coming down, smack right on the top of everyone. Anyway, I'll give you my my version that's less Lego-y. Maybe slightly more biblical, I don't know. So really what happens, Jesus takes a few of his disciples, his inner circle, if you like, and goes up a mountain to pray. And as he's praying, which Lego did not show, Jesus's face begins to shine, and his clothes, it says, became as bright as a flash of lightning. He didn't like completely change to have some kind of weird face that had whatever it had drawn on it in Legoland. Moses and Elijah then appear, and they're talking to Jesus. They talk about the events that are going to happen next in Jerusalem, Jesus's death, that's coming next. Incredibly, the disciples are asleep, but when they manage to wake up, verse 32 says they saw his glory and the two men standing with him. Can you imagine that you're meant to be praying, you've fallen asleep on a mountain, it does sound like something I would do, and you wake up and Jesus is not only shining, but Elijah's there, Moses is there. I reckon the disciples must have been pretty stunned by what they were seeing in front of them. And then this cloud appears and surrounds them, and they hear the voice of God. God says, "This is my son, whom I have chosen. Listen to him." The disciples are literally seeing and then hearing the glory of God. They're seeing Jesus glorified. I don't know if I've mentioned this at all, but my New Year's resolution in January was to read the Bible in a year. Nobody here has heard that before. And I'm using Nikki Gumbel's Bible in a Year app, still going, which I think, you know, is good. It's March. It's going well. Thank you, Chris. Not bad. Thank you. And as with a lot of those kind of Bible in a Year plans and books and apps, there's a psalm reading, there's a New Testament and an Old Testament passage for each day. And over the past few weeks, we've been reading through Mark's Gospel. And the Old Testament reading has been various books about Moses. I just put this as a little aside that Caro, Susan and I have a little WhatsApp group to try and cheer each other on in the Bible reading, and mostly in the last few weeks we've been saying how grateful we are that we don't have to sacrifice things anymore to atone for our sin, because obviously we're at that point in Leviticus at the moment, where we're hearing quite graphically how you might slaughter animals and what you might do with the blood and the intestines and all other organs. We're very grateful that we don't have to do that anymore. Slight aside, nothing to do with this evening. But it seems to me, in particularly over the last few weeks, in both the Old Testament passages and the New Testament passages, there are a lot of moments on mountains. Whether it's Moses going up a mountain to talk to God, or Jesus, as in our passage today, Jesus was on a mountain to teach quite often or to pray. Mountains seem to be places where very exciting things happen. And on the mountain written about in our passage in Luke today, Jesus is glorified. Quite an exciting thing. Peter, John, and James get to see who Jesus really is. In the build-up to this, in Luke, the question, "Who am I?" is frequently asked by Jesus. And Peter, John, and James get the answer on the mountain. So reading this passage made me think about where I see Jesus glorified. Where do I see who Jesus really is? Where do my mountain moments take place? A few years ago, my mountain used to be at a kids group called Boulder Gang at the conference New Wine, along with a huge team. Yes, Dawn. Along with a huge team, I used to help run the group. I wanted to try and find a clip that would sum up what Boulder Gang was like for anybody that has not witnessed Boulder Gang. Fortunately or unfortunately, there aren't really any. All I can find is the mini series that Rob used to film and edit that we used to play to the children in the evening, like a mini series of like six episodes of something ridiculous that was happening in a, you know, little story. It was great. I actually was in the last one. I did toy with showing that, but changed my mind. The only other thing that's on YouTube is the theme tune, which hopefully we're going to hear now, Gordon, if that's okay. There's no visuals. It's just the tune.
I said, God, you're the rock, can you never, never change? I can feel the excitement flowing through my veins. You've got no beginning and you've got no end. You're eternal God and you are my friend. Amazing. Astounding. Our shouts are resounding to bring you praise for all our days. One, two, three, four, stop. Break it down, y'all. The word on the street is this boulder and beat. It's the place where my feet cannot falter. Cause until the end, I'll trust Jesus, my friend, giving all that.
That track fills me with a mixture of excitement and absolute terror, because we used to play that. We did play it at registration on a loop for hours on the first day, but we also used to play that at 9 a.m. or 7 p.m. because it was the signal that we're about to slide back the enormous cowshed doors and allow, you know, 600 or so 10 and 11 year olds to like run into the building. Probably the fear doesn't need explaining. If you ever went to Bodgang, you can understand that keeping that many children interested, engaged and not fighting with each other, whilst dealing with the fact that you've been sleeping in a tent and probably having cold showers all week, was a massive responsibility. And so fear was a given. But there was also great excitement at how God would meet with us in those sessions and how he would show us or reveal himself to us and how he would move among the children. So the team at Boulder Gang consisted of around 100 young and not so young adults. And we used to meet for the hour before that theme tune played and the children descended. And in those times, we would sing songs of worship. We would hear from the Bible and we would pray together. The times with the children were amazing, sometimes mental, but amazing. But sometimes the teen times are what I imagine heaven will be like. Boulder Gang was basically a totally bonkers week that included brilliant worship, masses of prayer, huge moments of faith, and incredible encounters with Jesus. Whatever role you're in at New Wine, you're surrounded by people that are worshipping just like you are, and living for a week in this kind of bubble of Jesus brilliance. Boulder Gang at times, and I'm afraid it definitely didn't feel like this all the time, but I wonder if it must have felt a little bit like Peter, John and James's experience at the top of that mountain. Peter, John and James saw Moses and Elijah and literally Jesus's brilliance shining out of him. It must have been incredible. For Peter, so incredible that he decided he had to do something and needed to build shelters for all three of them, maybe to make the moment last a bit longer. And they also then heard the voice of God. I didn't hear the audible voice of God at Boulder Gang, but we saw some miraculous things, and God's faithfulness to us never ceased. I think if I'd been there on that mountain, I would have wanted to run back down that mountain and tell anyone I'd found about what I'd seen. But it says at the end of verse 36, it says, the disciples kept this to themselves and told no one at that time what they had seen. But then this story does appear in three of the Gospels. It's a great story to record for us to be able to read, perhaps in order that we might believe. So we move on to part two, the second part that Chris read to us. As soon as Jesus and the disciples come down from the mountain, they're met by this large crowd, and one man calls out, asking for Jesus to look at his son, who's seized by a spirit which is destroying him. Jesus has just had an amazing moment on the mountain. The disciples are amazed by what they've seen, and yet they come back down the mountain, and it's literally like they come back to earth with a bump. Straight away, they're back into dealing with normal life. Have you ever had a moment like that? When you've met God really powerfully, seen Jesus in all his glory, and then something in normal life has just pulled you back to earth with a bump. Unsurprisingly, there was always an element of feeling like that when we came home from a week at Boulder Gang. And for years, I found it quite difficult to leave because I never managed to meet Jesus in quite the same way at home as I felt like I did at Boulder Gang. Jesus came back down the mountain and was confronted by a situation in normal life that he dealt with through prayer and by meeting with God. The message then that stands out to me from this passage is that although it's fantastic to have mountain moments, when you see the glory of God, it's just as important to be able to find Jesus and his glory in our everyday lives. And we can do this too through prayer, and meeting with God. I haven't been to Boulder Gang for several years now. I've never forgotten the lyrics to the song. But I have had to find other ways to see and feel Jesus' glory. Increasingly, although I wouldn't want to miss the mountain moments, I realise that my focus needs to be on finding him in my ordinary everyday. Starting the day by reading the Bible in a Year app, they really should be paying me for all the marketing that I'm doing for them. That's really helped me to focus on Jesus before the madness of the day begins. Listening to worship songs, singing worship songs, walking to school and appreciating a sunrise. There are countless ways to see God's glory in the ordinary normal day. So, some questions for you. Where is your mountain? Where is the place that you really feel that you see the glorified Jesus? Is it at church? Is it at a conference like New Wine? Is it during your quiet times? For my mum, it's actually probably being on a mountain. And where is your ordinary everyday? Do you see Jesus there? Even when we're not on the mountain, we can meet with God and we can feel his presence with us. And that is, of course, what we're called to do, to demonstrate Jesus for those around us that aren't on the mountain or perhaps don't even know that there is a mountain yet. The end of each day in the Bible of the Year app has a verse for the day. And for me, the verse from this passage is what God says in that awesome cloud. This is my son. Listen to him. We must listen to him in all circumstances. Whatever is happening, listen to him. Wherever you are, listen to him. However you're feeling, listen to him. At the very end of the passage, that first part of verse 43, we see that it comes back to God's glory. It says, and they were all amazed at the greatness of God. There's something I read online that followed that final verse. When we draw strength from him and his glory, then in his power, we bring his love, mercy and grace to the chaos around us. And so God receives glory. I'll read it again because I think there's loads in there. When we draw strength from him and his glory, then in his power we bring his love, mercy and grace to the chaos around us. And so God receives glory. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for Jesus, and that through him we can see your glory. Thank you for the mountain moments, but thank you that you will meet us wherever we are. I pray that you'll give us strength so that we can bring your love, mercy and grace to the people and the world around us, so that we might bring the glory to you. Amen.